This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Ecker.
I'm Will Buss.
I'm Raj V. Subramanian.
Newsweek reported that at least two reporters said they resigned from the official Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting network, and a third former presenter offered an apology as the country was gripped by a nationwide furor over the shoot-down of a passenger jet. One of the reporters said that she would never go back to television and asked the audience for forgiveness.
See, we have to consider that for many people, for many journalists across the world, this is a livelihood. Sometimes, I mean, I've been represented in an organization where they have affiliation towards certain political party. And when I was an anchor, when I read it, I know this is a very skewed version of what it is. Because I was a journalist, I'm an anchor. I'm sometimes forced to do what is there in the teleprompter, even though I don't endorse the views or the information that is there in the news report. I'm forced to do that. I've done that. I'm guilty of it.
But it's not even a matter of endorsing the story you're reading. It's just a matter of feeling like it's fair, that it's accurate, that you've done a balanced job. I mean, it sounds like you're more a mouthpiece for the government than you are actually a journalist. I mean, do you still feel people in that sort of position should be considered journalists?
Again, going back to my other point, livelihood. You know, we have to make a living. Like, no, do I stick to my ethics and standards? Well, I have to be like this. I'm going to be like this. Then I lose my job, which means then I cannot feed my family. Then I lose my status as a reporter. So those are some of the considerations that I had when I was a journalist. Then I was thinking to myself, man, I think it's high time. I need to kind of get rid of this. And that's when I packed my bags and left.
Could you lose more than your job? Could you lose your life if you defied what the government wanted you to report?
I think, you know, I mean, that would be a stretch. I think, you know, as I told, I mean, I mentioned this in some point during our discussion, that in India, television stations are run by political parties. So, like, for instance, like, you know, here we have only two parties, right? Either it's Republican or Democrats. But in India, we have the Bharatiya Janata Party, the Congress, the Janata Dal, the BSP. They're like every political party has a television station where they promote their ideas. They're more like a propaganda. And I used to represent a political party which had a television station, and I was there forever. And sometimes I know, like, no, this is not fair and right on my part to do it, but I kept doing it. But that it is what it is. You know, you have to sustain yourself. You have a status. You know, I had a huge, you know, following for my television presentation. I mean, I had a status back there as a journalist, and I had to hold on to that. You know, that's kind of, you know, survival.
And I've just learned so much from my friend and colleague from India here about just you know, when we talk about journalism, I have, and I'm sure, Rich, we came up in our college careers learning about, of course, the First Amendment and so forth, and all the rights and the liberties that we had. But I just remember it's been very eye-opening, especially after being acquainted and working with Rajvi. And then I remember as a reporter, we had a kind of a exchange program in our chain. McClatchy Newspapers mm-hmm. would bring in reporters from the Middle East. And boy, those were some eye-opening meetings. And I met a reporter from Iraq and another from Egypt, and where, again, they did not obviously have the liberties and the freedoms that we enjoyed, and how, seems like almost everywhere else outside of the free world that journalism exists as a mouthpiece for the ruling party. And how basically it is, when we're talking about international news, we have to consider this concept and what people are liable to believe or not. And it's such a fascinating thing that just it just takes some getting used to wrap your head around, whereas you've been, as we have been, practitioners of what we know.
Do you fear some of the things you heard from journalists from other nations are starting to creep into what's happening in the U.S., especially under the current presidential administration?
Sometimes I do. I think the one thing that the internet and social media has done, it's made us far more aware of each other. And I was just teaching this in a class. We're talking about the power of the media and social media and how it influences our culture, and how people now in India or the Middle East are now far more aware of how perhaps their administrators and their rulers and their leaders are not acting in their best interests, and how that we are more connected with each other and one another because, you know, we're aware of this this different means of viewing journalism, what truly is a freedom of the press.
And again, just want to point out a couple of things. You know, it's also to do with culture. For right. instance, you know, imagine like, you know, you are a journalist in Saudi Arabia. There is no way you can write anything bad about the ruling king. It is practically impossible. Like if the king does something wrong, you cannot even write about it. If you write about it, either you'll be imprisoned or you'll be persecuted or you'll be killed. That's what happened to Jamal Khashoggi, because he was a critic of the king of Saudi Arabia, and he was writing lots of articles saying, oh, this is bad, they shouldn't do this. Then they ended up killing him in the embassy of Saudi Arabia itself. So that's the kind of extent people can go to finishing off the enemies who write bad against the government. I will give you another instance. Like once I was interviewing the president of India, and we went with the crew, and the president said, well, I'm going to read from the teleprompter and you can sit and watch. I'm sorry. I'm here to interview you, not for you to read from a bunch of teleprompter stuff. So initially he was reluctant, but then he gave in. But the point that I'm trying to tell you is, in some countries, the administrators have this mentality that you write what I say, and that's it. They don't get to the concept of like, why do you have to ask questions and why do I have to answer that? Those kind of framework doesn't exist in some countries. And that's what we're going to see in the United States if it's going to go like this. Pretty much the top people or administrators, they will just say something, you just write it and leave.
Yeah, it's controlling the message. But I think you're right, Rich. I think we do see some of that at least being reflected in this administration. And I know as my time as a reporter, there was always folks who tried to control their message, and you try to approach them with questions that might have been tough questions and you had to have the courage to ask. But yeah, there was always folks who say, yes, I'll give you, you know, we'll give you a written response, or we'll dictate it this way or that. And but you need to fight for, you know, a sit-down interview. You need to fight for the facts and the relevance of that. And I think that's something that perhaps, you know, we're seeing reflected more so than ever before.
And in the U.S., where newsrooms, especially on the local level, are getting smaller and smaller, right. Sometimes, Will, it's just easier to accept a written response because you just don't have the time to sit down and interview someone.
And that's the danger in our
dangerous.
It's our danger in these dwindling newsrooms where we basically take information and it's not being vetted and not looked at it by enough set of pair of eyes, copy editors and proofreaders and the like. And, yeah, that's definitely the danger of our dwindling newsrooms right now.
Raj, I don't know how familiar you are with broadcasting in Iran, but is it unusual for reporters to resign in this sort of way, for reporters to offer apologies for what the nation has done?
I think this is definitely a shocking news for me to start with, because of the fact that I was telling you, see, these are journalists, that's their profession and that's their livelihood. And why do people jeopardize that? I think we should really appreciate these journalists who came out forward and said, like, I cannot take this nonsense anymore. Because I was watching the news as it was unfolding. As soon as the plane crashed and people died, we lost about 176 people, passengers and mm-hmm. crew. Right. And then the news that was flashed was mechanical failure attributed to plane crash. Like, how can you attribute to mechanical failure within the first 2 hours without any investigation? We see a plane as a great ball of fire that actually went in midair and then it crashed down, which was on camera. Then if it's a mechanical failure, why didn't the captain or the pilot report it to air traffic? You know, nothing of that sort happened. And immediately the authorities there, they wanted to send the message, well, this is a mechanical failure. because they didn't want the government to be blamed. And that's what happens when the government in power wants to hold on to certain information. For the next 2 days, nothing came out, and then image started slowly leaking. And because of, I mean, I was watching a lot of other television shows in the US, and we had like people, like experts on like, you know, the traffic accident investigation. They clearly said like, no, imagine something is going to go like just after takeoff, and there were also two missiles that was captured in the satellite that went off at the same time. What are the coincidence of a plane going down and the missile going in at the same time? So we had a lot of data that people are also putting all the things together. And now at a time then the government knew like, man, I think that's gone beyond our hand, because this is something that is evidence to nail us down. Let's acknowledge the fact that we made a mistake. And that's when the journalists like, man, I think this is also a time where we have to come out and show the government that what they're doing is not right.
So you would consider this to really be an act of bravery these reporters.
Absolutely. I mean, I've got so much of like admiration for this journalist, because they're ready to give up standing for a cause instead of just towing the line of the government. I mean, I wouldn't be able to do that. I'm very honest about it, because I'm thinking of my job security, my financial security. And these guys like, man, I think I'm done with all this stuff. I'm going to stand to what truth is. And my sincere admiration and respect for the journalists who did this in Iran.
We are going to wrap up this week's discussion. Our listeners can join us again next week here at tspr.org. For more of Shop Talk.